Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098, and we'll give you more. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is a Monday, one of the busiest Mondays in a long time. Debate, sports, passings, we got it all for you. Give us a call, 718-664-9098, like always, rayandtaytoday.com. Check out our website, pretty cool. You want to email us, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, old shows. Check us out on iTunes. We're legit. But, Ray, let's start off with just the sadness before we get into all the news and then NFL and college. The passing of a legend in Arnold Palmer in golf. More expected. He's been sick. And, you know, just the greatness. I mean, hey, iced tea and lemonade, that's who he is. That's all you need to know. And the passing of Jose Fernandez, who tonight the entire team will wear the jersey number 16 in a tragic, weird, I'm not sure about all the details of a boating accident. And, you know, the story coming from Cuba at 14, saving his mother who fell off the raft. I mean, that's, you know, real life stuff right there. And I guess the weird juxtaposed position of a golf legend and somewhat, in a lot of people's eyes, a young baseball pitching legend. Pretty sad. Give us some thoughts on those two men and just their impact in both of their sports.
Well, let me just say this. I don't know if you followed the game, but before the game, and yesterday in particular, D. Gordon went up there and was really one of the most emotionally, you know, impacted by the game. So D. Gordon, they're all wearing number 16 against Bartolo Colon, and D. Gordon hits his first home run of the year.
Wow.
Leading off the game, first
okay.
batter.
I know, I didn't know. They started 16. Recently? What time did they start?
D. Gordon at 7, and D. Gordon hit his first home run of the season, and they're all wearing number 16, Fernandez. But D. Gordon doesn't hit home runs, and he was one of the most, you know, impacted. He was at the mound yesterday. You know, they had laid some flowers down, and it was an incredible sight. And so anyway, Marlins are up 5-0 last time I checked. That's just today. Look, you know, to be in a baseball player is an achievement in and of itself, right? That means you're good enough to be amongst the, you know, what is it, 25-man roster, 30 teams, you know, 750 Major League Baseball players. But to have overcome what Jose Fernandez did, trying three times and failing to escape Cuba, finally at age 14, escaping Cuba, saving his mom, getting to high school in Tampa, graduating from high school, getting drafted to the majors, winning the Roberto Clemente Award.
He was in jail, too. They put him in jail, too. Don't forget that.
Jail as a kid. For all he wanted to do was, you know, get out of the island and escape.
Freedom.
They need to clean that whole Cuba thing up. But that's a whole other show.
But yeah, jail for
unbelievable,
freedom.
Unbelievable. And 24 years old, you know, that guy had a whole life ahead of him. Everybody loved him. He won the Roberto Clemente Award. He's an American citizen now. It was just crazy. His wife or girlfriend is pregnant
with
his daughter.
Yeah.
So that adds tragedy to it.
Yeah, he had a post on Instagram. People said it was like a tearjerker that he had put up a couple of days ago about his girlfriend.
And you know what's ironic? Nobody's talking about this. And obviously, you know, nobody should walk away. You know, all the living shouldn't walk away with guilty feelings because nobody could have anticipated this. But he was supposed to start Sunday. But because Mattingly wanted him to face the Mets today, he then shifted his start back by a day to today. Now, had he started a Sunday afternoon game, I don't think he'd be out on the water Saturday night.
That's
so I don't know.
Killing,
this is me saying this. I don't know if it holds any water. Sorry for the
No, word. It's got to be killing Mattingly. Are you
but,
kidding me?
You know, if,
how could it not, right?
If he started today, I don't think he'd be out on that boat. You know, and again, I don't know what happened on that boat, but I don't think the day before your start, you're out on a boat on a day game. You know what I mean? I don't think you're out on a boat late at night on Saturday.
Right, so yeah, because he would have pitched Sunday at like what, like a 1 o'clock start?
1 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So that's that. And then the other side of the spectrum is Arnold Palmer. In the sense that he lived
a life.
Full life.
Full, great
he
life.
Impacted so many people, golf players, people off the course, even more than Jack Nicklaus. And Jack Nicklaus was obviously the best. He and Tiger are the best golfers of all time. So maybe Arnold was a notch below him. But even more than Jack and even more than Tiger, Arnold Palmer brought golf and entertainment
to
together. He brought it to the people. He was the people's guy. He's from Latrobe, PA. You know, he was the common man's golfer. So he really, in the 60s and 70s, made golf a sport that now, you know, obviously Tiger's great, but these guys can make a ton of money right now. And they can be world renowned because Arnold Palmer humanized the sport and was as fierce a competitor as anybody else, but he did it with a smile on his face, and everybody loved Arnold Palmer. For some, there's some athletes that everybody just gravitates to, and he was one of them.
Without a doubt, and you send love and prayers to both of their families. It's and on a separate note, you know, it gets kind of trumped, you know, not to necessarily use that tonight with the debates coming, but somebody, you know, kind of close to our hearts. If you grew up in the, you know, 80s and 90s and you were a young adult and you know, you're just a movie fan and you saw Do the Right Thing from Spike Lee, a very good, you know, not so famous, but a very good actor named Bill Nunn passed away this weekend. But he played a legendary character in Do the Right Thing. Radio Raheem passed away. And I just love D-Batteries, MFB Batteries, the battle between love and hate. I mean, yo, Radio Raheem, Fight the Power, blasted in the pizza shop. It just doesn't get any better than that. And I just, you know, I worked with him on a project and met him, and he was just a good guy, but also a very good actor. So rest in peace to Bill Nunn as well. Radio Raheem will forever be remembered. Oh, man. Ray, let's start Sunday night. And honestly, how about them Cowboys? Because they're young.
How about
young.
Them Cowboys? Say it with more conviction, player. How about them Cowboys?
I want to say it that way, but, you know, all right. I picked up the defensive fantasy.
It was against the Bears, though, so don't get that caught up in the moment.
It was against Brian Hoyer, Ray, so I can't. Come on. And
no,
did you see
can't.
That Fox said Cutler might not definitely get his job back? Wow. It's time to move away from the Jay Cutler era. But I got to ask you, because the young guy keeps looking good, I smell something. Is it almost time for the Dak Prescott era to begin, even when Romo returns healthy, Ray?
Negative. I'll tell you why. Dak Prescott, and first of all, any rookie quarterback that starts 2-1 in the NFL, Carson Wentz 3-0, we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
But any
we'll
quarterback that starts 2-1 in the NFL is pretty impressive. You know, this is a big boy league, and the Dallas Cowboys are not without their own injuries. So Dak Prescott, a lot of credit for doing what he's doing, not making mistakes. But here's the thing. America's team or not, Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable, richest franchise in the NFL history, in the NFL, right? So it's really them and the I guess it's them, the Patriots, the Giants. So their expectation is they've had a lot of 8-8 seasons, so their expectation is to compete for a Super Bowl. And at this stage in his career, even though, you know, I think Dak Prescott has proven himself very worthy of playing in the NFL, you got to ask yourself, who am I? Now, Tony Romo can make some mistakes, and Tony Romo can give away some games, and maybe Dak is because he's so conservative, because he's so methodical, he won't. But to go to the playoffs, Dallas doesn't have a team where you can just be good enough, right? This is not a Brad Johnson situation.
And you're not relying on your defense like Russell
this
Wilson.
Is not a, yeah, this is not a Trent Dilfer situation with the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. Your quarterback's going to have to win you a few games. And at this stage in his career, that's not Dak Prescott yet. So Tony
that's
Romo
fair.
Is your starter. Tony Romo has to be until he's physically unable to be, you know, the Tony Romo that we know. It's got to be Romo's job.
Which, Ray, could happen the minute he returns. I mean, let's be fair and honest. I mean, he's fragile. And I love Tony.
He is. And
I would give Tony
colder.
The job back, too. I would give Tony, you know, being fair and honest, I would give Tony the opportunity and the job back as well. I'm just reading the tea leaves. That's all I'm saying. Now let's get to the rest of these Sunday games, because the other gentleman, and we'll get to all these five teams, 3-0, right? Patriots, Broncos, and Ravens in AFC, Vikings and Eagles in NFC. And what the Eagles did was put a whooping on my Steelers that has not occurred since Norman Boomer Esiason did it to Chuck Knoll's team in 1989. 34-3, Ray. Carson Wentz is not only the real deal. I think Doug Peterson and Frank Wright are the perfect coaches. I think Peterson is going to go down as the next great young head coach. I think he's got that mindset. He's very smart. They're handling Carson Wentz perfectly. The team, you know, when we thought in the offseason, well, they're trading this one, getting rid of this one, getting rid of all Chip Kelly's guys, they have made great moves. I still think they're going to be a year away of, you know, getting a number one receiver, another lineman, and another corner. But right now, they look like a potential playoff team and a potential NFC East winner. How about the Eagles? Fly, Eagle, fly. Impressive, right?
How about them Eagles? So I picked the Eagles to come in fourth in the NFC East. I picked them to go 6-10. So this is definitely a surprise to me. Now
we're eating Eagle Crow right now. Crow.
The first two games, you said, all right, those aren't against real teams. But to put it on the Steelers like they did and to hold that offense – like they did to, what was it, 3 points?
3 points, Ray.
That, wow.
Ouch.
Wow. I mean, we were talking about this as being one of the most prolific offenses around. And then obviously when you get Le'Veon Bell back, it could be one of the all-time prolific offenses. But Philly put it on you guys. Now, do I think they're a 10, 11, 12-win team? I'm not sure. I actually think that the league might catch up to them. But for now, 3-0 is 3-0. They can't take that away from you. And look, the NFC East, even though I don't think that they'll be great, you know, I don't think they'll run away with the NFC East, at the same time, they look at the teams in the NFC East, the Giants,
you're not
overrated 2-0, the Cowboys have their issues, the Redskins, you know, barely won their first game. So, you know, at the same time, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, we're not that good, the Eagles. But then again, the NFC East not that good either. So if you're an Eagles fan, you're thinking, wow, we may have finally, you know, turned the corner and found our guy. This kid, Carson Wentz, man, you know, and I was actually a Nick Foles guy in Philly. I mean, I thought he had that one great year, and I thought he kind of got run out of town a little early.
1 year, that was it.
Yeah. But this kid, Carson Wentz, man, and Darren Sproles, you know, he's the ageless wonder, still making plays. So that combination of Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, you know, maybe it just comes down to that
Matthews
one.
That much against us. Matthews
yeah,
really
but here's the thing. That one big mistake was bringing in DeMarco Murray and trying to, you know, run the offense through him. But
it wasn't Murray's fault. It was the type of scheme that Chip Kelly had him doing,
scheme,
right?
The offensive line, yeah.
He's a one-cut downhill. Because look at Murray in Tennessee, looking really good. He's been looking
very
good.
No, it was a mismatch. It was just a little oil and water.
So let's keep it rocking. Your boy got a win. Not much to talk about. Andrew Luck, what is it, his 12th or 14th final drive of the game, come back and win. So he sort of survived the Chargers.
That was a great move by T.Y. Hilton up the middle. I mean, they could have lost that game.
Man-time tail, though, Ray, done for the season. So that's not a good look. The Chargers each game lose somebody else. The embarrassment that we saw from our New York Jets to the Chiefs, unacceptable. 6 interceptions from Fitzpatrick. Some of them, I just felt like he was colorblind. I don't even know what was going on. Brandon Marshall probably shouldn't have even played because he clearly wasn't healthy. But at some point, somebody else has got to make a play. That, you know, and the defense held up as much as they could, right? I mean, 6 turnovers. And one or two taken back to the house. I mean, there wasn't much that Todd Bowles' defense, you know, they played pretty darn good, but that was disgusting. And Jamal Charles gets to rest another week, you know, so watch out for the Chiefs, you know. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned now Thomas Rawls, Lou Rawls' nephew, is going to be out a little bit longer, it's reported. Russell Wilson looked like he dodged a bullet from that horrendous leg bend.
Yeah.
Looks like it's just an MCL sprain. Probably will play this week against the Jets. 2 things. Should they rest him? Because, you know, they're playing the Jets and then they have the bye, and let Boykin, who looked very okay, putting it on, you know, Chip Kelly's team. Carlos Hyde jumped in the end zone late, but 37-18. What do you feel about Russell Wilson and this team? Because it looks like they're starting. The offense is starting to wake up. Doug Baldwin's on fire.
Kristen Michael,
and Jimmy Graham a sighting. So what do you think they should do with Russell? Rest him a week and let him get the bye end this week.
See, if he's not at 80%. I would rest him. But these games are so valuable that, you know, and if St. Louis keeps winning, then you got to figure the Arizona Cardinals, we'll talk about them in a second, that they hopefully –
they play the Rams
this
week.
For their fans, turn it around a little bit. But I don't know. I don't think you could take the chance. I think you have to stomp on the Jets while they're down and then let Russell rest for 2 weeks. Now, if he needs 3 weeks rest, if the doctors say, look, you need to rest him for 3, then fine. But if he's 80%, you got to win that game. It's a very winnable game against the Jets. So I'm leaning towards play him.
Rams, Tampa, the overtime. The delay. I'll say this. Shame on the coach and Mike Smith and the assistants. You left 2 timeouts on the field with – you know, only what, 2nd down, and they didn't run. They let 14 seconds run off the clock, and they could have had 2 more plays to get to the end zone against the Rams. They lose 37-32. Hard to believe in the NFL, like you said, with all these games being so important, and they're coming out of the locker room knowing that they have the ball, Ray. How do you make that mistake? Is it just Dirk Cutter's fault, or I can't fathom.
You know what? I don't care. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
These games are worth millions of dollars. You know, think about a 1 or 2 game swing in a season. There's between 9-7, 7-9. 9-7, 11-5. Think about a 2 game swing in the NFL. These games are worth too much. Pay somebody. If you can't do it, pay somebody whose only job it is to be the clock management guru. Pay some guy $10,000 a game. Just you have a microphone, and all you do is you are the clock management guy. You got a direct line into the coach's ear, and that's all you do.
Every team should have that. It should be like a liaison, right? It's unimaginable.
You know, and I get that these coaches have a lot of pressure on them. They got a lot going on, but that's why You have a guy. You got two timeouts. Use one. So you know you gotta have that direct connection. I mean, I don't. We see it time and time again. And you know, granted, we're sitting at home and we got the big screen TV. And we got our popcorn ready, like T.O. says. But this is basic stuff that really needs to get. It's basic stuff. And here's the thing: the coaches themselves would admit on Friday. On Saturday, they'd be able to handle that situation. It's just on Sunday, in game time, with all the pressures and all the stuff that's going on. So I don't think that they're incapable. I just think that there's so much going on in the heat of the moment, but that's easily taken care of with my guy.
Well, yeah, you have to humble yourself to say, let me have an assistant just for that. And to me, every general manager and owner should demand it on their coaching staff. It's just you can't lose because of that. Because guess what? Two more plays, Winston might have thrown a touchdown. They were close enough. And that Tampa defense is horrible, right? But let's get to a defense that's not. How impressed were you and are you with the 3-0 Minnesota Vikings? They go into what we thought with Carolina having the emotions, and maybe the emotions backfired, right? Maybe it was too much. And maybe we're looking into it. Maybe it's just not having Jonathan Stewart to have that solid running game and having a Zimmer coach team and defense that we all are underestimating, because the Vikings, Ray, the bell has rung. They are for real, and the purple people eaters have been reincarnated. Watch out, folks, because this team is legit. 22-10. Were you surprised? Shocked?
You know what? This might be hindsight is 2020, but I wasn't shocked, because this team has played defense all year long. And this team is coached by Mike Zimmer, a defensive guy. And we saw Carolina exposed in the Super Bowl. We saw the fact that if you play physical, if you're fast, if you get Cam Newton off his spots,
if you rattle them a little bit,
Kelvin Benjamin threw up a zero. A zero!
Xavier Rhodes was back, and between Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, they have a crazy good secondary. And Harrison.
They do, but a zero?
I mean,
that's a zero. That's not.
But you know
like
what? Let's be
three
fair.
For 30. That's a zero.
The offensive line's not great right now for the Panthers, and he's holding on to the ball a little bit long. Both of those things need to change. Let's go to the Broncos and Bengals, Ray, because we were both wrong on this one. And number one, the Bengals need a break, and maybe they'll get it Thursday night playing the Dolphins, because their schedule's been crazy so far. Jets, Steelers, and then Broncos, their home opener. But wow, Trevor Siemian, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 312 yards, 29-17, and Sanders and Thomas went off. Is Siemian the real deal? And did we totally sleep on the Broncos? Because they look like they're ready to go back to the Super Bowl.
Well, is Siemian the real deal in real life, and also in fantasy? Is he the real deal? So that's another question to ask. If you've got, you know, now he's probably not your starting quarterback, but maybe your backup quarterback, the bye weeks are starting. So, you know, is Trevor Siemian your guy? I know who's not your guy is Paxton Lynch. He's staying on the bench a little more. But this Trevor Siemian kid might be exactly what the Broncos need. You know, what seems to be a smart, no ego type of guy who understands he has weapons in the passing game, he has weapons in the running game, and he has the ultimate weapon in that championship-level defense. So maybe he's exactly what the doctor ordered. Maybe he's the Ben Roethlisberger of 2005. I don't know. I'm just saying. They've got a team that, you know, this Patriots team still looks like they're right up there in the AFC. Your Steelers took a little setback, but they're probably up there. But it's really – those are your three teams in the AFC. I mean, maybe the Chiefs with Jamal Charles get a little more explosive, but I
don't know. Elway looks like a genius right now, Ray, because he said, I'm not going to overpay for Brock, who put up the dud against the Patriots under pressure, and he's like, I'm going to pay for Von Miller and continue to take care of my defense. I've already paid my receivers, right? Sanders and Demaryius got their money.
Well, Sanders held out, yeah, but he eventually got his money, yeah.
Right, right. But him and Thomas got their money. I mean, and it's beautiful. Like, Elway is winning as an executive as well. Let's talk about your boy. Last year was relaxed. This year it's like, you know, hey, be patient, chill out. Now, look, Green Bay's defense is not that good. Marvin Jones put up records on them in the second half, 34-27. But Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers look like you said, where he was 80%. Well, Matt, maybe now he's 92 because they look like they were revving it up. And I think the Packers will be fine. But I'll say this, the Lions, they play the Bears next week, so they need to win that. And I think Caldwell will be fine. But this offense is for real. They just got to get the defense together, right? But the Lions are not a bad team.
No, and you figure losing Megatron.
And Amir Abdullah out for the season now. No longer 8 weeks. Done for the year. Along with D'Angelo Hall for the Redskins, the safety, former corner, done for the year. And Shane Vereen, they were saying done for the year. Now it's, you know, IR, so he could possibly return after 8 weeks, but you know, don't hold your breath. So the Giants,
so
you got to look.
Fantasy? For, who's your fantasy? How does the fantasy implication?
They're saying
especially Detroit
kid Oscar something, but it's Rashard Jennings, maybe Paul Perkins, and they have Bobby Rainey. So we'll see what the Giants do. I think it's just going to be Rashard Jennings who gets that third down. Maybe they should give it to the rookie Paul Perkins. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating, but these injuries are horrific. It's rough. Give me your thoughts real quick. Ravens take care of the Jaguars. They got kind of lucky, but Bortles is not looking good. And the Ravens, 3-0. You can say whatever you want, but they are 3-0.
They are. You are what your record says you are, as Bill Parcells told us once. Look, the Ravens, give them props. Jim Harbaugh is a professional coach. He knows how to get his players. He knows how to motivate his players. He knows how to do just enough to win. So I give them a lot of credit. And you know me, I was never a big Blake Bortles fan. So I thought he was, you know, he was okay, but I never put him in. I didn't even project him to be an elite quarterback. So he's having a little bit of struggles, but I think he's got weapons.
I think it's the coaching. It's the coaching. I think Gus Bradley is gone. They're going to get an offensive coach in there. If you look at it over the last couple of years, these defensive coaches are not winning. All the offensive coaches are. I think this is
Gus
Bradley's class.
Speaking of which, I think we need to transition to college football and Les Miles. Speaking of a defensive coach who basically for the past 5 years has not moved off of his defensive philosophy of play tough, run the ball, play tough D, run the ball, and hope to win close games. And this day and age, like you say, it's about offensive football. So you either have to defend against offensive football or create offensive football yourself. And they wanted him out. The boosters wanted him out for a couple of years already, and they got what they wanted. So Les Miles, after a 2-2.
But he earned it, though, Ray. Let's be fair. Even though, look, 12 years, he got a chip, and he's banging up against Saban.
He got a chip, but let's keep that real, too. Just like I know you love yourself some Tubby Smith, right? But Tubby Smith inherited Rick Pitino's squad and won a national championship. Les Miles inherited Nick Saban's team. That wasn't his recruits. Those weren't the people he developed. So you can put an asterisk by Les Miles as the national championship.
And he's recruited well, but he's never been able to really, except for Zach Mecklenburg, he's never had a decent or legit quarterback. He's had running backs, receivers, great corners, defensive linemen. But he can't get over the hump. It was time for him and Cam Cameron to go. And the offense was outdated. The question is it Jimbo Fisher? Is it Chip Kelly? Is it
– let me ask you something. Everybody thinks
Brian
Jimbo
Kelly?
And maybe at the end of last year, but is the bond to LSU that strong that you would leave Florida State to go to LSU, like, is LSU that good of a program? Remember, this is the same LSU that a couple years ago said we're shutting down the program because we don't have money.
But wait, let me say this. The reason why people say LSU is so great is because you being in LSU, you get Louisiana, you can recruit Texas, and you can still get Florida and the South. People feel that it's in a perfect location that you can get sort of that whole like three ring circus of talent. And Les has gotten
it. Why did they 2 years ago threaten to shut down the program because they weren't making enough money?
I don't know. That's just haberdashery. I don't know. I'll say this. It'll be fascinating to see who they get. I don't think it'll be Jimbo Fisher. I think it's going to wind up being Lane Kiffin, and that is something.
I think it's
going
to be the coach from Houston.
I'll tell you one thing. That coach from Houston, if things play out the way that it could be looking to play out, he's got a shot to be in the college football playoff this year. He's got a real legit shot. But before we get into all the college games, let's just make our Monday night football prediction. Saints, guess what? Their favorite 3.5 over the Falcons. It's the anniversary of Katrina. The return, 11 years for Katrina, 10 years for the return. It's emotional night. Your boy Gleason's going to be there. Scott Fujita, he blocked the punt and dealing with LTS. ALS, and just an emotional night. Look, Matt Ryan's put up better stats than Drew Brees in that dome, but to me, I think it's just going to be a groundswell, and I think Brees goes off. No Willie Snead for the fantasy buffs, but I think Michael Thomas will step up, and it's going to be Kobe Fleener and Cooks, and they're going to figure it out. I think Drew Brees gets it done in a shootout. 31-27. And Cooks is 8 receptions, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I agree. I think just like 10 years ago, they rose to the occasion. They'll rise to the occasion again. They probably feel like they should have beaten the Giants. They are coming off a disappointing start to the season, but starting to get their groove back. Drew Brees will put up big numbers. I think Matt Ryan will too. I think it'll be an offensive shootout, so I'm going to go for even a higher score. I'll say 38-33. Just touchdowns, pinball, bing, 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 bing.
Ah, you like the points, man. You like the scoring and all those points. So I'll tell you this. You look at this top 25, and we'll talk about some of these results and stuff, but Bama 1, Ohio State 2. I still think this is a collision course for the chip. Louisville 3. Oh, by the way, he went from 18 to 25 touchdowns, Lamar Jackson. Just so you Heisman folks know, this guy is insane. And they had 6 first-place votes to Ohio State's 4. Number 4 in the country with 1 first-place vote, Michigan. 5, Clemson. 6, Houston, that you were just talking about, Ray. Stanford, 7. Rough game with UCLA, but our boy David Shaw pulled it out. Great coach. Wisconsin with the upset, 8. Texas A&M, they pulled out a shootout, 9. And Washington, 10. Give me your thoughts. Any surprises? It's Tennessee, Florida State, Baylor, Miami next. Notre Dame and LSU are gone. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State are not in it. Let me ask you this. Should Florida 23 and Georgia 25 have any business being in the top 25 anymore? I say no. I wanted to see what you thought.
Well, no, I agree with you, but they play in the SEC, so they can work their way back in. Georgia.
But Georgia shouldn't even be 25, Ray.
Right. They should have lost each of their first 3 games. I mean, it's ridiculous that they even were 3-0. They were the worst 3-0 team out there. And Florida, I think, maybe has a little bit more of a say. But the great thing about college and the great thing about the SEC is that they're going to face so many good teams that even if they win,
it's
4.
It's on the field.
3 out of 5, they'll do it on the field, and they will have earned their way back into the top 25. So I think that'll play out. That'll play itself out. If they're worthy, like James, they'll get back in it.
So what Colorado did to Oregon, is Oregon sort of done for the year, and is this program going to go on a little tailspin for a bit?
No,
that was a pretty
I think
bad
Oregon. One. I think Oregon just had a bad is having a bad year.
Year.
Think about it. They've lost guys, for the last 4 or 5 years to the pros. I mean, not LSU or Ohio State style, but they lost their guy, Chip Kelly. They lost, you know, Hal Fritsch is still a heck of a coach, but they don't get the you know, 40, 50, 4-5-star recruits. I mean, they get 10 of them, 15 of them, 20 of them. So they're still...
That's fair.
You know, you know what I mean? They're still like a number 15, 20 program when it comes to recruiting, and yet they're usually a top 10 program on the field. So eventually it catches up to you. That's all right. They'll be fine. They'll come. They'll be back. I don't think this is the demise of the Oregon football program.
Okay, which team impressed you the most? Ole Miss, their victory over Georgia, Wisconsin's victory over Michigan State, at Michigan State, or Tennessee's amazing comeback at home over Florida?
So I got to say Wisconsin. Tennessee was interesting because they came back from that 18-point deficit, but they gave it up. So it was like one of those roller coaster games. Wisconsin, when they beat LSU, we said, oh, LSU, they're too predictable. Les Miles, Leonard Fournette right, Leonard Fournette left, Leonard Fournette up the middle.
Yeah.
This Wisconsin team is better than I gave them credit for. They absolutely handled Michigan State. I think we both picked Michigan State to win the game, so we were both wrong on that account. Wisconsin team's pretty darn good. So I think that that was the most impressive. And to go to East Lansing and win like that, you know, Tennessee played at home, and like we said, Georgia was overrated. So to me, that was the most impressive.
Now you realize Wisconsin, we'll really see how good they are, because the next couple of weeks it's like Michigan, Ohio State, and then Iowa or something.
They'll come back to reality. I think they'll come back to reality.
It's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, so now if they get through that, then, oh, my goodness, we have to change, you know, the whole outlook on everything. that could be real fascinating. One more in college football. Louisville has to play Clemson first. But if they, I guess between those three, could you make the statement that the three of them are jockeying potentially for that fourth spot in the playoff? Because let's say if you're going to have Bama and Ohio State, you know, maybe it's going to be Stanford and not a Big 12 candidate. So then Louisville, Clemson, or Houston could maybe get that fourth spot when it's all said and done. And they kind of, you know, Louisville plays Houston and Clemson. Do you see that those three are going to be sort of potentially the chip makers for that final spot in the playoff?
It might be. And don't be surprised if the Pac-12 slips. And maybe somebody like a UCLA or a USC or, you know, beat Stanford. Or maybe an Oregon comes back and surprises.
Michigan and Ohio State get in?
Either Michigan and Ohio State get in, but they have to play each other, so that's hard. Or two of those teams get in that you just mentioned. So let's say it's Clemson and Houston. Or let's say it's Louisville and Houston or some combination like that.
It's going to be good. This is going to be fascinating. It is definitely going to be fascinating. We got to definitely, you know, get ready to end the show, Ray. And we got to salute Vin Scully and talk a little bit of baseball. I think it's hard, right, to say goodbye to a legend and he's not going to do the playoffs. He wanted it to be clear cut. His last game at Dodger Stadium, they heroically come back, win, and them clinching the division, which is just, it's beautiful, right? It's like the baseball gods, they don't ever really get it wrong, the baseball gods, and they got it right for Vin Scully, and, you know, he's a treasure, and I guess what, the Dodgers end against their rivals, the Giants, which I think is apropos and perfect, so he'll do that. But where are you in terms of just, I don't know, his most important memory might be the Hank Aaron call. His most famous or most fun might be the Kirk Gibson. What's your biggest one for Vince Scully and just your thoughts on him and his greatness?
So with Vince, or Vin, as they say, we're old enough to remember Scully and Garagiola.
They
were the Dodgers team, just like for a long time, Joe Morgan and what was the other guy's name? John Miller were were the San Francisco Giant team, but they went national, right? This guy's voice, Vince Scully, not only did he have a great voice and did he have a great way about him, but he was able to tell story. You know, he was a storyteller, and he was able to weave in the story. And baseball has a tempo. As much as people who don't like baseball are like, oh, it's boring, they stop. Baseball has a tempo. It's a slower tempo, but it has a tempo. You know, there's pitches. There's in between hitters. There's, you know, in between innings. So you actually have to be pretty, you know, pretty crafty at weaving in those stories. But he was able to do it, and you just liked listening to him. And as an East Coast guy, we didn't really get him unless we had national games. But I always liked listening to Vin Scully. So, you know, in those big playoff games, did I like that? But I almost liked the quote unquote the mundane, the day to day Vin Scully calls. You know what I mean? Just slugging through those Dodger games, just listening to him entertain you for three and a half hours.
Which he did perfectly. You know, it's going to be great. Now, looking at where we are now as these standings and everything is, you know, I mean, we're really winding down, Ray. This is the, what do we have, 2 weeks left?
No, 1 week. This is the last week.
Basically it's the final week. So you've got Red Sox are already basically in, and you have 86 wins for the Blue Jays and then 85 wins for the Orioles. And you look at the losses, 71 and 69. So looks like Toronto's got that first spot.
Yeah, Toronto's basically in with the first spot. Baltimore's probably in with the second spot. The Detroit Tigers are one back in the loss column, two back in the win column. So, you know, both of them are stumbling a little bit, Detroit and Baltimore, but I think that Baltimore is going to win it. The only, you know, question is in terms of schedule, I think that they play the Orioles. I mean, I'm sorry, they play the Blue Jays. I'm pulling up the Orioles schedule.
Yeah, no, they do play,
So,
but it seems like both leagues, NL and AL, like they're kind of like playing you take it. You know, it's like hot potato.
Yeah,
like,
so they have three against Toronto and then three against the Yankees, Baltimore.
Oof.
So
Gary
that's
I think they'll both make it. And then the NL, it looks like the Cardinals are really – they're kind of falling. I think the Giants and Mets might get this, man.
Right now it looks like the Giants and the Mets are in. It would take
They're half a game up only on the Cardinals, the Giants. Because they have 81 and 74, they're 82 and 74, the Giants.
Yeah.
So,
now let me pull up the Giants schedule, because obviously you're playing within your division. So and the Dodgers have really nothing to play for. Let's see what the Giants have. And then we'll check out the Cardinals schedule real quick.
Yeah. So as Ray's doing that, I'll say this. Everybody enjoy the debates tonight.
Yeah, so they have Colorado, and then the Dodgers. The Dodgers have nothing to play for. So that's not bad, actually, for the Giants. That bodes well to get Colorado, you know, Colorado and the Dodgers team that's basically clinched, you know, their playoff spot.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. Like I said, everybody enjoy the debates tonight. You get a chance, catch a little bit of Monday Night Football. Have a great sports week. Everybody just, let's have some peace out there, people. Can we have a week of peace? that's all I'm asking for, just a week of some peace. So thanks for listening. And like always, we enjoy talking sports with friends. And we'll... talk to you Friday. Oh, Thursday night football, Ray. Bengals, Dolphins. Who are you picking?
The Dolphins. I go with the Bengals. The Dolphins almost lost to the Browns. So I'm going with the Bengals.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals to kind of put it on them. I think they released something. When, about 30 to 17? I think the Bengals
I like that score. I like that. I'll go with that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's wrap it up.
Let's get the debate. Let's get the debate going. And 10 years to the post Katrina Falcons Saints game. Enjoy tonight. We'll catch you at the end of the week.
Definitely. And remember, Thursday night game is just on NFL Network. So, and probably NFL Network and Twitter, no CBS. So you still get the broadcasters, though. So that's great. And the last week of baseball. So Friday, we'll set up the weekend and get ready for the playoffs on Monday. Playoffs will start Monday and Tuesday. We'll give a little preview. See what we think. So enjoy. Rest in peace, Palmer and Fernandez. And enjoy the sports.